Our scripture reading is from Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 5 and 20 through 31. Let us listen to the word of God this morning. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and a darkness covered the face of the deep. While a wind from God swept over the face of the waters, then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. God said, "Let the waters bring forth swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the dome of the sky." So God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves of every kind with which the waters swarm, and every winged bird of every kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things and wild animals of the earth of every kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals of the earth of every kind, and the cattle of every kind, and everything that creeps upon the ground of every kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." God said, "See, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of the earth, and every tree with seed in it, its fruit. You should have them for food, and to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has breath of life. I have given every green plant for food," and it was so. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In the beginning, God created all that is. I have a feeling farmers understand this a bit deeper than I do. Certainly as an Eagle Scout, I'm a lover of the outdoors, but only when it's a little warmer. I want you to think about this, about how amazing creation is, especially scientifically. God created things as small as single-cell organisms, something as grand as the galaxies. God's made each one of us in God's image, intricate and special, diverse and unique. Now, these first few chapters of Genesis tell us the magnitude of God's creation. It's the beginning of the greatest story, and after all's created, we hear a relationship forming between the Creator and the created. Humankind is left with a choice to choose God's way or to choose our own. Right now, I want you to look at your hands just for a moment. And these hands that you're looking at have the ability to do great and wonderful things, but they can also hurt and destroy. In the story of Adam and Eve, God gives them a choice, but this choice is the one that we face daily. God gives us the ability to follow God's ways, to do great and wonderful things. However, there are times when we choose instead to follow our own ways. And when we do this, we clench our hands into fists, or we push people aside as we climb up the ladder. The created pushes the Creator away. We put our needs above others. Now, this is an old, old story, one that has been carefully passed down by word of mouth. Our scriptures weren't penned by a single person, but by many. And this great story has survived centuries of languages and translations. We gather here today to hear this ancient beginning. We come here to be inspired, to receive wisdom, and to seek hope from our Creator. On the first day, God created day and night. Then God created the sky, and it was good. The third day, God created land and seas, and it was good. Then God created the moon and the sun, and it was good. On the fifth day, God created birds and the fish, and it was good. On the sixth day, God created more creatures. After creating animals, God created man in God's image to rule over all the earth and all creatures. God created male and female. Then God saw all of creation, and it was very good. As one of my seminary professors said, it was good, 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 it was very good. All this other stuff was good, but all of creation, humanity, male and female, the culmination of God's creation was very good. After creating us, it wasn't just good, it was very good. I don't know about you, but that should make us each feel special, that we are God's people. And God doesn't just make us good, God makes us very good. But somehow it doesn't always sink in. It doesn't always last very long. We learn a serpent enters, and Adam and Eve, much like us, doubt our Creator. And humanity chooses to follow its own way instead of God's. And soon after the creation story, God eventually calls Abraham and Sarah to lead a nation, reclaiming us and making a covenant. But yet again, doubts creep in and the Israelites break this covenant. And so begins a long cycle, going back and forth again and again. God restores and reclaims God's creation, and then God's people stumble, choosing their own way instead of God's. Eventually, God gets tired of this cycle and fulfills a new covenant. The Creator becomes flesh to restore this relationship. God comes to the world as one of us through Jesus Christ and shows us a new way, how to follow God's way, because we just weren't ever going to get it. For all the times we choose our ways, for all the ways we push others aside, for all the times we stray and push our Creator away, for all those times we trust the whispers of the serpent, God saves us from ourselves and breaks the cycle by dying for our sins, defeating death itself, and bringing us new life. This is how powerful our relationship is with the Creator of the universe. From the beginning to the end, it's a story about relationship. A relationship between the Creator and the created. Our Creator desires relationship with God and with one another above everything. It's the most beautiful love story there is. And it's very good. This is why I say every week when we gather, this is the most important thing we do all week. We've been created to recognize the splendor of God's creation. We've been created to be in relationship with God and with one another. Relationship is something that runs deep within our DNA. And the best way we fulfill our relationship with God is by worshiping our Creator. So today we get to worship with song and prayer and with one another. Part of the reason this sanctuary is wonderful is you can see one another. And it is very good. I was watching a reality show where someone was being interrogated for 48 hours. I don't know why I watch these shows, but sometimes I do. And during his interrogation, he was put in an isolation chamber. There weren't any windows, and it was small and claustrophobic, and he couldn't hear anything. The only connection to people were the interrogators. It was designed to be high stress. The person being interrogated started getting paranoid just from being isolated. And within a span of 30 hours, it worked. The person wanted out. So he cracked and gave the interrogators the information they needed. All this to say it's in our DNA to be in relationship with others, so much so that prisoners who are locked up in isolation for weeks or months or years sometimes literally go insane. We were created to be with others. Even teenagers who spend lots of time on their phones or play video games. Now, don't tell anyone, I'm guilty of that too. They much prefer to hang out with friends and family. Now, sometimes you've got to force them to do it, but they want what we all want. To share with someone else their passions, to listen and to spend time with someone. This is why grandparents are often so popular. They often want to soak up every minute with their grandchildren. Plus, they give candy and ice cream, and then they get to send them home. But similarly, this is probably why donut time after worship here is so popular. I know half of you right now, near the end of my sermon, are all thinking about donuts. It's a clever way to entice you to connect with one another. We give you donuts and lemonade before we send you home, but there's something deeper, something more important than a little bit of sugar. It's in our DNA to gather together. Donut time is an extension of worshiping the Creator, to gather in relationship with one another. So what does that mean for us here? It means that when we gather, we are family. When we share donuts and juice, we don't just make a beeline to our good friends walking past others. It means if someone's standing on their own, we pause and visit with them. We ask them about their week. And we care about them because they're family. It's easy to feel disconnected with folks if all you talk about is golf or work. But as an extension of worship, we must welcome and invite all in. Longtime members and visitors, blue collar and white collar, families and widows, young and old, abled and disabled, Republican and Democrat, men and women, we have a common thing here in this place, and it goes deep. Deep to our Creator. God's creation is certainly a diverse group of people, and we mess up a lot. But in this place, after worship concludes, we must strive to live into this love story with one another. We must, as a diverse family, celebrate the relations God has instilled. We share something bigger, something deeper than all those differences. So this must go beyond worship. It must go beyond our donut time. We must be able to expand beyond this building. We are called to develop relationships with one another outside of this place and with a diverse creation. The created can live into the Creator's vision that we choose God's way above our own. Trump supporters will sit at table with Trump haters. Different colored people will sit at table with one another. Different religions will respect one another. And these hands of ours will be open instead of clenched. They will reach out to love instead of pushing others aside. They will be breaking donuts and bread with all of God's creation. Now today, we recognize that the story doesn't end with the apostles or with the ancient words written in this old story. We recognize that our stories, our lives, are a continuation of God's people, a continuation of a story that begins in Genesis. But this story still includes disobedience. Everything from the Crusades to the Holocaust to September 11th to the Me Too movement. And yet we still have hope. God, our Creator, comes to us as Christ and has defeated death for creation's reconciliation. We play an important part of God's plan, God's design, and it's to be in relationship with the Creator and creation. So let's live into this relationship and live out by following God's ways, showing the rest of creation that we're not just good, but we're very good. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.